From our children's moment, I'm not very handy, so don't ask me to do those types of things. Thank you for that. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. The last couple weeks we spent our time in the first teachings of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we looked a lot at chapter 5 in Matthew, and today we're hearing what Paul has to tell the church in Corinth. And I think it builds on what we've been talking about in terms of who we are called to be and what we are called to do. And so I hope and trust that we'll keep in mind what we've been discussing these last several weeks as we consider this today. Let us hear now from God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people, but like unspiritual people, like babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink instead of solid food because you weren't up to it yet. Now you're still not up to it because you are still unspiritual. When jealousy and fighting exist between you, aren't you unspiritual and living by human standards? When someone says, I belong to Paul, and someone else says, I belong to Apollos, aren't you acting like people without the Spirit? After all, what is Apollos? What is Paul? They are servants who help you to believe. Each one has a role given to them by the Lord. I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Because of this, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but the only one who is anything is God who makes it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together, but each one will receive their own reward for their own labor. We are God's co-workers, and you are God's field, God's building. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again so very much for this day that you've given to us. For the reading and the hearing of this, your word, we are truly grateful. We pray now that you would give me the words that you would have me to speak. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. It's all about God. There's nothing we do here, nothing we are about here that is about anything other than God. Everything we do, everything that we claim to be, is about God. Everything we do in this space at this time, the ministries that we are a part of, are meant to offer God praise and thanksgiving. That is what it means to be a Christian. It's all about God. However, we often tend to make things about us, don't we? As a church, as people, we tend to make things about us. What I get out of something or what I don't get out of something. Francis Chan is a preacher and a missionary, and he's authored several books, and he tells a story. One Sunday, he was shaking hands after the service, and someone came up to him and said, "I really didn't get much out of the service today." And he said, "Well, it's a good thing we weren't worshiping you then." Right? Every now and then I'll be shaking hands. Someone will say something like that to me, and I'm not brave like Francis is. I'm just like, "Oh, yeah, okay, all right." But in my head, I'm thinking, I ought to, this is not about you, right? At the end of the day, my purpose, part of what I do, is to order the service so as to glorify God. There will be aspects and parts that you don't like, and I don't care. That's okay. We made Joel and Nora eat healthy food from time to time. When I have you all sing "For All the Saints," it's good for you. Just eat it. You'll be fine. It'll make you a better person. Every now and then there's that, and that's fine. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, we are here to worship God. Divisions in the church, frustrations in the church, always center around us wanting to do our own thing, or us putting our will above somebody else's will or above God's will. That's where all those things come from. We like to think it comes from a sense of self-righteousness, but really it's not. And that's what Paul is addressing here in Corinth. If you can believe it or not, the early church was divided about a great many things. In Corinth, the division was around specifically knowledge and pedigree. They thought they were a very knowledgeable people. Here they are in the forefront of knowledge as Romans, as Greco-Romans, and they were on the forefront of all knowledge and all understanding. And they thought that because they knew something, that they were better than others. Or they thought that because of their pedigree, they were better than others. "Well, I follow Apollos." "Oh, yeah? Well, I follow Paul." And we know that the same happens today. This is common. It hasn't changed in several thousands of years. We may say, "Well, I belong to XYZ church," or "This is who my pastor is." And sometimes it's just basic information that we're giving to somebody. But at other times it's, "Oh yeah, well, guess what? Here's what I do. Here's what I believe. Here's who I follow. Here's what I think. Here's what my church says or does or is or focuses on." And with all of this in mind, Paul helps us really to kind of address this in three specific ways. And the first thing he addresses is their jealousies, their envies. We've all heard the phrase being green with envy, right? Maybe somebody says something and you just say to them, "Green isn't a really good color on you," right? Green with envy. Paul again states that it's all about God. If you're jealous, if you're envious, your focus is not on God, it's on something much less deserving of your attention, and it's on probably directed on something that is going to be more harmful than good. We need to stop comparing ourselves with each other around who we follow, around what we believe. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Who is Jesus Christ? That's what matters. Who is God? That's what matters. Who does God call us to be? That is what matters. When we compare, we hurt ourselves and we hurt others. Paul uses the imagery here of planting and watering. Now we know from Acts that Paul planted this church. Paul spent years out in the mission field planting churches. We also know from Acts that Apollos was a young upstart preacher who was very gifted and talented. And while he was preaching in Antioch, Priscilla and Aquila heard him and they thought, this kid's got some ability. But he doesn't know who the Holy Spirit is yet. So they take him under their wing and they teach him and they form him and they let him loose. And he goes and he waters. He goes to the places Paul has started and he continues the ministry. They each have a responsibility and a role given to them. And we never once hear Paul or Apollos comparing themselves to the other, because it's not about them. It's about God. It's about His church. It was God who made it grow. We hear Paul say that twice. God is the one who causes the growth. Throughout the book of Acts, God is the one who causes the increase. Whose job is it to save souls? Jesus' job. Our job is to make disciples. Our job is to introduce them to Jesus. Our job is to help form them and shape them when they've made that decision, when God has collected them as a follower. Paul and Apollos are merely servants. The word servant here literally means waiting on tables. It's the service that seven men were appointed to in Acts chapter 6. They were created and called diakonos, servants, table waiters. They were to make sure that people were being fed and that the Hellenist widows were having the same food distribution as everyone else. This is a form of service, not necessarily to people, but of service to God, that would take the shape of helping others. It's dangerous to compare ourselves with others, because when we compare ourselves with others, we diminish them, don't we? Or we diminish ourselves. We may say that someone isn't as good at something as we are, right? Or we think to ourselves, well, I'm better than they are. And we're diminishing that person, aren't we? Because God didn't create them to be like you. Believe it or not, God didn't create a lot of people to be like you. He created you the way you are, to be the follower He wants you to be. Or maybe sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I just can't do what so-and-so does, and we diminish ourselves. The gifts we've been given, the talents we have, the abilities God has gifted us with. But most harmful of all is that when we compare ourselves with others, we diminish the creative purposes of God, and we insinuate that God shows favorites by giving some people gifts that we wish we had. Ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't show favorites. He's not in the business of doing that. It's not what His job is. He loves us all the same. Paul addresses their jealousies. They are green with envy. Secondly, he addresses their naivete. They are green in the faith, right? They're new to this. They don't have it all figured out just yet. And this is a hard word for the Corinthians to hear, because they are highly educated people. Yet for all their education, they really know very little. Paul says that he couldn't speak to them like spiritual people because they were really babies in Jesus, babies in Christ. They seem to be having a difficult enough time drinking the milk of faith, let alone chewing on the meat of faith. I couldn't talk to you like spiritual people because you are not acting like spiritual people. You're not bearing fruit as spiritual people. You are not being spiritual people because you're focused on these jealousies. calls them babies in Christ. Babies are selfish, aren't they? It's okay, they're not here. We can talk about them. It's all about babies, right? It's all about them. They're hungry, so they cry. They're bored, so they cry. They're dirty, so they cry. They're alive, so they cry. They just cry, and they do all this stuff, and it's all about them. Man, I want it to be all about me. It's all about them. Babies in Christ are the same way. Unspiritual Christians, early born-again believers are the same way. They're focused only on themselves. And if we're honest, how many of us are focused far more on ourselves than others? As we get older, as we mature in the faith, as we grow, we begin to see that it's about more than what I want or more than what I think should happen. It's about what God wants. His ways are higher than my ways. Knowledge is a valuable tool. Please don't hear me saying anything otherwise, but wisdom is what makes knowledge useful. Wisdom is the ability we have as Christians who are maturing to discern that knowledge, to discern the truth, so that others may see it and know it. They've been green with envy. They're green in the faith. And finally, he addresses their need to grow. Y'all need to grow up, he says. You need to continue to grow. You haven't reached completion in your growth. You aren't as mature as you could be. There is always the need to grow. Green is, of course, the color of growth, right? How many of us can't wait till it gets a little greener outside? Green is the color of growth. We have our pyramids, right? Right here. That's what these are here. They're green. They're green most of the year because they remind us that wherever we are, there's always room to grow. We don't have it all figured out yet. When you come in here and you see these colors green, I hope you remember, oh yeah, I've still got more to learn. I've still got more areas in my life I need to grow. I don't want to be a baby in Christ anymore. I want to be an adult. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to be better today than I was yesterday. They serve as a reminder. Sometimes they serve as a challenge to us. And part of that growth is recognizing where you've been green with envy, where you've been naive in your faith, or thought that something was what it wasn't. Can you honestly begin to see these in your life? Can you begin to recognize those jealousies that you have? Those areas of growth where you need to grow. You need to put this down, whatever it is, and grow. Can you begin to recognize those today so that you can become the follower that you have been created to be? Will you strive to get better by God's grace? And as we grow, God makes some promises here. Some interesting promises. He says that we can be God's co-workers in verse 9. His co-workers. Those who are busy planting and watering. We can be that. But before we can be there, we have to realize that we are the field and we are the building. We are that which must grow so that we can then be co-workers and help others to grow. Got to know our place in that and recognize where we are in that. At moments in your life, you will be the one planting. At other moments in your life, you will be the one watering. At some moments in your life, you'll even be the one that gets to harvest. But in all things, no matter what we are doing, I pray and I trust we will make it about God. Because that is the only time we will see what is actually taking place. I hope and pray that you'll join me in that prayer and that endeavor for yourself personally. and for us as a congregation. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you've given to us. We pray that you would help us to grow. We pray that you would give us eyes to see who we really are, where we really are, and that you would give us the foreknowledge to see where you're calling us to. Lord, as we strive to get from here to there, we pray for wisdom and discernment. We pray that you rid us of our jealousies, that you rid us of our ignorance so that we may grow more and more in love with you and with those others that you have created. God, we are called to serve. Lord, forgive us when we've made it about us and not about you. We ask all these things in Christ's name.